late one night in my Ford Edge after the first day of the gathering, we just sat there and just chatted at each other and tried to figure out a way to best support the group, because that's been our goal from the beginning, is to elevate US hostels, to offer them more ways to put more money in their pocket, better guests in their beds. And so Hosteling.us was born out of a conversation with US hostel owners and teams.
Hello, friends and travelers. Thanks for listening. You are riding along on the Hostel Road Trip Podcast. Our mission is to spread awareness of the true hostel experience in the Americas and share stories from the fascinating hosts who create those unique facilities. I'm your host, Jimmy Black, joined alongside co-founder of International Travelers House, Bobby Dyer. Each session, we sit down with hostel operators or travel influencers to hear about their road to success, discuss trending hostel topics, and close with tips for travelers who are seeking to have the ultimate experience when visiting each destination. You can't afford to miss this trip. Now fasten your seatbelts and let's hit the road.
All right, let's rock and roll. We are with Thea from the Ember Hostel, from Hostel US, from The Gathering. We are on an epic Hostel Road Trip Podcast episode. I'm here with Bob Dyer, co-founder, business partner, newly minted Naha board member, Robert Dyer. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here with you guys.
Yeah, and Thea, thank you so much for taking the time in your busy schedule and being an awesome mother as well as all these other projects. Thank you for being with us.
I'm so excited. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to give a little shout out to my boy Yogi here, who has to join us. He's decided to join us. He's a superstar and Instagram influencer. All right. So let's dive into it with Thea, who, for those of you who don't know and have not been blessed to meet her, she is a hostel legend, an OG, and a tour de force. And just a really awesome person. And I just want to know, before we dive into your various different tentacles within the industry, how did you get into hostels? Like, what was it that young Thea found herself like bit by the bug? How did that happen?
Well, I wasn't quite young, but I...
You still are, girlfriend!
Sure. I actually answered a Craigslist ad. I was living in Austin, Texas. I was looking to pivot out of the career I'd been in for the last 10, 15 years, and I wanted my weekends back. So I thought, hey, this sounds like a really interesting opportunity. So I really just had never been hosteling until I took that job.
Fuck yeah. So your first, no guest experience, just went in right in as a worker.
I have probably 20 years of experience, like as a community organizer, working with volunteers. Okay. And my previous career was event and wedding management, so a ton of understanding of, yes.
All right. Now, that's an interesting thing, because you get the exposure as a guest, which usually is what kind of breaks down the classic American stigma, which we're trying to overcome with things like this podcast, where it's like, oh my God, that's a horror film. You're going to get murdered if you go in there. You know, how did you look at the hostel industry as a whole, when you went into that experience? Did you have trepidations, or were you like, oh, I've heard about this, but these places are like, did you have any of that bad stigma, bad mojo?
I really knew nothing of hostels, not even the bad reputation that it might have had. It was all brand new to me when I first walked into the building for the interviews. I soaked it all up and I saw all the activity in the relationship building that was happening in the common room and the kitchen. And it really felt like it was where I wanted to be, but I had no preconceived notions.
That's awesome. So you were like tabula rosa going in. That's actually the best you can ask for in our country, because usually it's like, you know, I always laugh about it when I get into like the back of a cab when I'm going to one of our different locations from the airport. Like, oh, what are you doing? I'm in town on business. Or, what do you do? Oh, I run a hostel. And then like, you know, you see him look in the rearview mirror like I'm going to like come from behind and strangle him. You know? So it is sometimes better just to have that clean slate, because as we know, the stigma is just so bad, and now they're coming out with another horror hostel series with Paul Giamatti as the lead actor, who I loved And now I'm going to have to just fucking kick him right out of my closet. So, I mean, yeah. So we're trying here. We're trying to figure out new things, but you're doing many of those things with Hostels Are More Fun, which I want to dive into. But before we do that, so you're in Austin, you get your exposure, and now how do you find yourself up at Ember's Hostel in Denver, which also, just to drop a little a tune on your horn here, won the best hostel in North America in 2020 for a hostel, like, huge award, huge accomplishment, and just really an awesome hostel. We've stayed there during the gathering, which we'll also talk about in this call here, but amazing hostel run out of a historical home. And if I were to say, because we run out of historical homes as well, a few of our locations, and we started at USA Hostels, which is now Gaslamp Hostel, which is a 1880s brothel historical building. So that's been a big part of our journey. So I greatly appreciate how difficult that is to run and operate out of those older facilities. And if I were to take a textbook example of how to, like, knock it out of the park, I would say Ember Hostel would be the case study, because that place is just awesome. Like, you kept all of the original awesome historical features, which I hate to see when people try to change or chop up or meddle with. But at the same time, you made it feel modern and comfortable, you know, and it flows super smooth. So just kudos to you on that. But tell us how you found yourself over at Ember Hostel.
So the hostel I worked for in Austin was called Drifter Jack's Hostel. It was like a real traditional backpackers hostel. Ooh. We had no fluff. There were no frills. You slept on a crinkety old bunk bed, and you use a locker that I built, but the vibes were immaculate. The events were top tier. We knocked it out of the park my first year there and became number one hostel in Austin. And we carried a 9.6 in the hostel world until I left. It was an excellent experience and a great way to be introduced into the hostel industry. And I'm glad I had that experience before I moved to Ember. The same owner of Drifter Jack's, his name is Andy Ward. He's also the one who opened Ember Hostel. So when he was like, hey, we're going to open a second one, I said, I'm going to go. I love the mountains. I love Colorado. So that felt like kind of serendipitous for me. And so that was just kind of the journey that I had with the hostel owner, Andy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. No, you learned something new. Is Drifter Jack's still open?
Drifter Jack's closed during COVID, unfortunately.
Oh, and not to reopen. It's done?
It's done.
Okay. But same owner still owns the Ember Hostel, and how's that one rocking?
Correct.
Okay. And now what about, how big is the Ember Hostel? Give us a little bit of detail on it. So that,
yeah, like you mentioned, it's a historical mansion in this beautiful neighborhood called Capitol Hill in Denver. It's 9,000 square feet. It includes an old carriage house, which we remodeled into a dormitory. It has a big property in downtown Denver, big property. It's really, really gorgeous. And like you said, a ton of the historical details were left untouched. We have an arts and crafts stained, you know, glass window. We have a beautiful curved woodwork staircase. The original fireplaces are in there. We have the original floors. There's just a ton of history in the walls. And so it was really great that we kept it the way we did. And then with an interior designer, they amped it up with all that beautiful custom bespoken furnishing that we brought into the space. And that's what really, I think, elevated it and made it feel very boutique.
Yeah, that's amazing. I had a question going from events coordinator and then getting into hostel management. It's, you know, obviously they align very well and having a great vibe is so important, but what did you, after becoming a hostel manager for say 6 months or a year, what did you enjoy the most about it as you kind of newly found yourself in this position?
I don't think I understood the volunteer model or the work exchange model when I took on the job. And that was something that I found to be just perfectly set for my skill sets, and I really enjoyed it. And so I've always loved building a team, but I love working with volunteers. And so I really got to kind of capitalize on that in in the hostel industry, and that's probably been my most unexpected favorite part of the job.
Interesting. Yeah, it is so unique that it's really like everybody's living together and you're creating this energy and this vibe, right? You're chasing this vibe. And even when your hostel's doing great, you know, that sometimes that lightning in a bottle isn't there, but all of a sudden you'll feel it and you're like, wow, the hostel's really, you know, firing on all cylinders. The vibes are great. The activities just don't stop. And it's a magical feeling. And so much of it is all the staff, right? Everybody living there, just bringing their cultures to the table. I agree. That is such a cool part. So,
yeah,
I think that's such a great, for me, a key indicator of like with hostel managers in general, if they are on the thought process of, oh my goodness, these work exchange members or volunteers, whatever you might call them, they're such a pain in the ass. And why, well, let's just get paid people from the outside. And I instantly know that they're not seeing the lightning in the bottle. I'm Ooh. Like, you're listening to the music, but you're not hearing it, you know? And it's so sad for me. And I started to look at that differently of like, I've failed that person somewhere along the line if they're not able to see this as their greatest asset and not their greatest liability, and how beautiful it can be when it all goes off on all cylinders and it's running smoothly. And I had the same profound enjoyment of when managing at USA Hostels, you know, and just having that singular task of managing that one location. That was my favorite part of the job, was putting together the crew. Yes. And like watching it mold together. And I thought to myself, what other gig would you be asked, okay, you're going to take 10 people, you're going to throw them into the same room. They're from every race, religion, culture, political background, all these differences. You got to put them in one room and you got to get them all to work together harmoniously as a family. That's a management challenge right there. You know, so if I think the effort that's put in is well worth it, and you see it and it's so beautiful when it does click and it does happen. But I always get so sad when it's like the wind comes out of my sails when I hear someone say like, oh, we've got to get rid of all these exchange, all these volunteers. We got to get paid people to come in here and get it done so we can just come and check in and check out. I'm like, okay, so if you heard of the Motel 6, they might be looking for you.
Yeah, who's in charge of the vibe then? You know, exactly. Who's in charge of the vibe?
We're not a hostel anymore. We're just a hotel at that, or a motel, you know. And so you lose all of that essence, special sauce within that. So I think that's very noticeable that you liked that and were drawn to that, inspired by that, and it shows product that you created at the Ember Hostel, and I'm sure at Drifter Jack's before that, which I never get to stay at, but I heard great things.
What are things you like to do to emphasize that and create those moments with the staff? Maybe advice you could give to other hostel owners, like, you built the staff, now how do you keep the staff motivated to make that magic happen?
I think the key, and maybe something that a lot of people miss, is you really have to create like a very collaborative environment for people to have a bit of a buy-in, to have, you know, feel like they have a voice. I think that's really important to some of the younger generations that we work with. They want to have a say. They want to have a little bit of a opportunity to lead or direct. And so I stay very collaborative, although I have a million ideas myself. But when I have a team, I'm saying, hey, what do you guys see? Like, what are you experiencing in this environment? How would you like to elevate it? What are the ways that you want to participate in this community? And that's where you really get to learn from other people. You get to find how they best engage with the job or the community. So really just, you know, not being single focused on what I want to do, but encouraging the team to be a part of building a very special community. And then they get to take pride in that. And that's that buy-in that you have to get from those volunteers. And so that's what I always suggest people who are struggling, is like, you need to open up the meeting, like listen to what people are wanting to do. And some of the best things we've done over the last several years at Ember are because somebody really wanted to do it. And so we allowed them that space to do that. And it was, you know, it ended up being a great benefit for everybody.
I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head so much there with that. And I had the same personal growth or learning curve, if you will, of, you know, when you own your hostel, you're managing it, you can be very possessive and territorial and you care about it. And you're like, this is my idea and my plan and get on board with it, or, you know, get off the train. You know, that will only get you so far. But the thing that we learned early on was within that, in that learning curve. And that's what allowed us to expand so much. And a lot of people in industry peers would ask, you know, wow, you give these kids a lot of flexibility or a lot of creative participation, or, you know, they're involved a lot in some big decisions. And yes, they are. And we wanted it to be that way so that they were involved, they were invested, they felt like they were heard. You know, they had that pride of ownership feeling because they were involved in that, you know, that process. And you've got to let, you know, let that grow and cultivate and run. And that's how you create that vibe and that culture, because you can smother that with and not let it, you know, happen. And it's a beautiful thing when it does, because, you know, I just had a perfect example up at the Big Bear Lodge here. Wildfires are okay. Yogi and I are still safe.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the work exchange, you know, the housekeeping closet was just a, it looked like a fucking bomb went off in it. And, you know, I could see the anxiety, and she was like, is that a label maker? And I was like, yeah, it's an awesome label maker. I bought it, you know, for this place. She was like, can I go to town on this closet with that label maker? And I see there once was labels that are not being, I was like, go for it. She's doing that. And then all of a sudden the manager comes in and sees her making this housekeeping closet that the manager actually let slide. Get a little messy. Guess who's in the kitchen reorganizing all the dry food storage and relabeling everything, you know? And now I'm like, wow, the kitchen's looking great. The manager's over there on the work exchange. Now I'm in the garage and I'm doing the tools. And, you know, you just get this, like, you know, the momentum gets going and everyone's, you know, feeding off of each other. And that's that lightning in a bottle moment. And it's, you know, even the guests can feel that and can taste and see, like, wow, the, you know, these are the, everyone's working together to make the place better. And it translates into the guest experience. But enough about Amber. We need to shift over some other things, because you're a career woman with a lot going on. So let's jump on over now and talk a little bit about The Gathering.
Okay.
Let me ask, what came first, The Gathering or Hustling US?
The Gathering.
All right, so we're going to go Gathering next. So you're in Denver. You meet Sydney, who's another tour de force, just an awesome woman and a pioneer and trailblazer in our industry. And you two, I love your personalities, and I love that when you two met, you know, clicked in that way and worked together. As a lot of times in any business, when you have that competing hostel, you're like, oh, that's my competition. I don't like them. And you never met them yet. You know, you've just already decided that, you know, we're not going to get along. So I love that you two went with that opposite way. And tell us a bit about how you met Sydney and how The Gathering came about.
So shortly after Ember Hostel opened in 2018, Sydney came by and asked, hey, can I speak to the manager? And, you know, no one's favorite question. but pleasantly, when I met her, she was like, hey, I, you know, operate this hostel over here. Like, maybe there's some ways we can work together. And she came into my life at a time where I was in desperate need for a community, for a network, because I hadn't found anybody yet, or I hadn't connected with anybody yet who could understand the industry, because it's just so unique in so many ways that I can't speak to other people who maybe work in HR about my HR experiences, because they're not the same. And they always just stare at me like, what is your job? And so I felt very isolated. I had been speaking to Andy about possibly heading to, you know, a conference or something. I just was really in desperate need of it. So I was so happy to meet her, and she's an incredible person. And we just instantly connected. I think she needed the community too. And as soon as we realized how beneficial it was for the two of us, we were like, we got to share the love. And we started the hostel, or what was called the Colorado Hostel Collective. And we invited the 20 plus Colorado hostels that exist to meet with us for a day in Denver. And when we did, just, you know, magic happened, fireworks, all of the good stuff. It was really clear to us that we weren't the only ones in need of a community of like-minded professionals who could really, you know, have find some solidarity in these situations that we were put in regularly. And so it was a huge success. We tried to grow on that in a lot of different ways. We held two more conferences with Colorado Hostel Collective. And then in 2023, we decided to open it up to USA hostels because we were getting a lot of inquiries from people. And we're like, hey, you know, we can learn more. Let's learn more. Let's bring more people into the room. Let's find more people to share these stories and these, you know, concerns and challenges with. And so that was a huge success. We were so happy to have all of those new faces in the room with us. And from that gathering in 2023 is where hostling.us was born. From the conversations that we had as a group, we identified the things that we needed in order to survive, to be successful, to be our best. We needed to educate US travelers that we existed and that we were cool. We needed to ensure that we had a standard for what hosteling in the US was. And we needed an opportunity to drive bookings as a group. And so late one night in my Ford Edge, after the first day of the gathering, we just sat there and just chatted at each other and tried to figure out a way to best support the group, because that's been our goal from the beginning, is to elevate US hostels, to offer them more ways to put more money in their pocket, better guests in their beds. And so hosteling.us was born out of a conversation with US hostel owners and teams.
Love it. And now that connects the story for me. Bob, you have something?
No, I was just going to say, that's awesome how you created that in that process. I've never heard the full story.
Yeah, no, I love the connection to it. But for the gathering now, for listeners, now it's November 5th through the 7th this year. Is that correct?
In Denver at the 11th Avenue Hostel, yes.
But will Ember still be included, or like we'll offer housing for the...
Yeah, so we have housing and we're going to be doing our welcome dinner there as well as other events. So, yes.
I hope the hot tub night is still in play. I hope I didn't get that canceled last year.
Wait, what did you do? Let me check the video.
No, but for those of you who haven't been or heard, the gathering is such a cool get together. And really, I think you nailed it on the head with matching up the conference to the clientele. And a lot of times with hostels, I feel like the corporate side of business, or even the corporate side of hospitality and the tourism, they don't understand us, they don't get us. And when they do their best even to try to cater to us, they're so wildly off that it's difficult for us to get comfortable or to like let our hair down or really be in the element or in the zone. And something that I would definitely tip my cap to on you gals is that you nailed it by keeping it, you know, professional in the elements of the material, and the content is all very valuable and worth it, but you did it in a way that we feel comfortable, you know, within being there and having a great time. And then that's when you get the best of both worlds, because not only do you get the productive material, but then you get the networking.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you did a great job on that, and really was, it made us like put that on the calendar as far as like, oh, we're coming to this every year. You know, and then within our group of hostels, we'll take a select group of managers. We actually have a quarterly award. The manager of the quarter, we get him a golden toilet. It's actually a trophy that would be given to someone who has a joke for like a fantasy football league. But since we're hostel operators and we often clean toilets, and if you had the nicest toilets, you probably won. So we give them the Golden Toilet Award. And the winners of the Golden Toilet Award get to attend the conference.
The winners, yes. Bring the winners. Yeah. Yes.
So we've made it kind of a fun, healthy competition within our little enterprise of, this person won, and now they get to go to the Denver gathering. So
we've
created a nice buzz and vibe in that. But really just a great get together in a nice intimate setting, and great for networking and camaraderie in a very unique industry where it is hard to find someone to talk to that understands what you mean or isn't freaked out by what you say, unless if it's another hostel owner or manager. So that's the gathering. and then Hostel US, which I love. The hostels are more fun. Campaign, you know, branding type of thing. And I feel like we're just all going to do more to push that. Mm-hmm. And all like that should be that sticker or that, you know, that's a slogan on like a tint frame or whatever. I feel like that should be at every reception check-in and at every hostel in the country.
Agreed.
You know, like it with a QR code and like that should just be a staple. Like almost like you would walk into an HI back in the day and it would look like an HI, right? you know, but it would be great if like no matter what the hostel looked like and no matter where it was in the country, when whether it was a posh tell or a real genuine backpacker hostel, if you always saw that tin stein, I really feel like if we committed ourselves to all make that small effort, that would subconsciously grab some familiarity with people of like, I keep seeing that every place I'm at, you know, no matter what the name of the place is, no matter what city I'm in. And if they see that 3, 4, 5, 6 times, they're going to eventually, you know, take that picture or QR code or try it out. And then I think everything after that is so useful for the industry, you know, having this great collection of qualified and verified hostels that are safe. That's a beautiful thing because so many times, and it breaks my heart, I'll hear from people that aren't staying at the hostel and I'm just in the conversation about what do you do or what about this? And they'll give you that look from the rearview mirror or like, you know, oh my God, you're in the hostel industry. And a lot of times that is predicated by a horrible experience they had in a hostel that was just an absolute dive or actually was a homeless flop house or the person who was running it maybe was trying to kill you, you know, like that happens to people and then they're done for life. And not only are they done for life, they tell their 10 friends, you know, and they're done for life. So I, you know, on the exact same flip side of that, I'm always so fired up when we have someone staying in an ITH and they're checking out. They're like, this is the best experience of my life. I've never stayed at a hotel again. Oh my God. You know, this was so cool. I'm telling all my friends about hostels and you're like, yes, got another one. At the same time, every day there are hostels out there in the US that are turning people the other way and are like, oh my God, I was going to give this a try, but holy shit, I'm telling everyone about this and this was awful. And what I really like about your site or movement in the hostel US is that you're actually going to have valid, good hostels, vetted hostels, safe hostels, secure hostels, and that will keep the industry on the uptick. Bob, you had something to add there?
Yeah, I was just excited to hear about what upcoming, what do you guys have planned, Thea, for getting more exposure and a word out to younger travelers for Hostling US?
So, you know, we've been fully active for a little bit more than a year. The first push is really to get buy-in from all the hostels in the U.S. The best site is going to be a comprehensive site of U.S. hostels. So we were really glad that we met our first metric of 50 hostels in our first year. So that was really exciting for us. We're still trying to build that membership because we really do want to have hostels available in all the states, in all the areas. And we know that there's even more and even greater and better hostels that are not part of the site. And so the getting everyone to participate is really a big focus of ours. We think that that's what's going to set us apart is will be this comprehensive site where people can go and really plan a trip through the US and staying in hostels. That is our big goal of ours is to be able to offer, hey, are you going coast to coast? Are you going Washington to Mexico? Are you Midwest? Like here's a road trip for you where you can stay in these really cool budget friendly hostels. So we're always mainly focused on building our membership. But of course, we then have to make sure that we're getting the exposure with the travelers. And so we are putting a lot of effort into sourcing UGC and really sharing like POVs of actual travelers that are staying in these really cool hostels. So that has been excellent for us this last year. We've got a lot of great traction on our social media profiles. We're doing a ton of community engagement. We're really focused on building awareness that US hostels exist. So maybe you've seen us tagging some of your households recently in comments where they're speaking of maybe an area like, you know, it's somewhere in California where you have one of your awesome households, and we're like, hey, we love staying at ITH when we're in San Francisco. So it's a lot about building awareness with travelers who are currently online. That's another big focus of ours. And then we do have a couple things up our sleeves, but we're not going to reveal those until the gathering. So we hope you join us.
Exciting.
Yeah, so we are really, really dedicated to putting the best guests in your beds and driving bookings to you. And how we do that is building a comprehensive list that people can trust and know, hey, I can go here and find somewhere in any of these states. Building awareness with travelers so that they, oh, I heard once there was a hostel XYZ. That's that community engagement piece. And then, you know, we are working on finding other ways to drive more bookings to hostels.
That is nice. So cool. I love that. I love that road trip idea. You know, that's such a cool feature that you could have, you know, within your platform that would like put it together for them and give them the options. Because often, again, back to that, you know, pop of the cherry of a hostel person and getting them on board and they're excited and now they don't want to stay at hotels anymore. A lot of times the question I will hear is, are there more of these places?
Yes.
Can I go to another one in this city, or like, mm-hmm. where's the next one? So that could just be such a great way for you guys to identify yourselves as a great resource for that. Of like, go on this site and, you know, pump in where you want to go, and they'll create a whole like triptych for you of where you can pop off on, you know, good quality, safe, secure hostels. And I think, again, that's so important because it really makes me sad about Hostel World. And I love Hostel World, you know, and how it brings us that community and represents hostels. But it makes me so sad how they have very poor, lowly rated, dangerous facilities and proprietors on the site, and they don't kick them off. And I know from speaking with some OGs that they used to be really strict about that. You know, back in the day, if you got below like a 7 or a 6 in your score for a couple of months in a row, you were gone, and you know, you were just kicked off the site. So then that allowed every backpacker logging in back then to know, like, if I'm going to a Hostel World listed facility, I know I'm going to a safe place, a secure place, a good, genuine hostel. And that was how they built themselves so much. And it's so sad to see that they, and I know Maria, it does some great work from Gaslamp Hostel, because she has so many great connections there, and she'll go to them and be like, hey, this person doesn't even have a business license. You know, they don't even have, you know, fire inspections. Like, this is a dangerous facility. This facility over there has a 3.2 rating. You know, every review is horrifying, and they're still on there, and they won't take them off. And now their response is, because of, I think, in my opinion, because I'm so corporate, is, you know, hey, we're acting in the best interest of the stockholders. And you're like, oh, you just want to throw up on your face.
Well, I mean, Hostel World is definitely a great driver for getting, you know, the right demographic into our hostels. But they're not really, you know, prioritizing USA hostels. There are many USA hostels that you would have to scour and know exactly how to search in order to find them on that site. And that's unfortunate, because people continue to think we don't have cool USA hostels, because Hostel World is not providing that information with them. And yeah, it's just so corporate that it just doesn't feel like it has the same vibe as US hostels do. So we're really hoping that hosteling.us can become a main source of bookings for hostels, and that all the really cool USA hostels see the advantage of being part of the community. I think that's something that we can all agree on. It's always been really valuable to us in the industry to have a community, to be a part of a group, to have this collective effort to, you know, further, you know, meet our guests' expectations and find more guests. And so, you know, as I said before, a big focus of ours is getting everyone involved in the site, because we truly think a comprehensive, fully collective site is what's going to drive people to us and feel like it's a trustworthy site. And we will always prioritize a well-vetted listings and make sure that we're only offering the best to our travelers.
Something to add to that?
Yeah, have you found, obviously it's Hosteling US and you guys cover all US, but it seems like more and more states are creating like individual associations. I think maybe just because they're closer and in their gathering, which is what you guys call your, you know, the gathering. So do you guys try to like organize like the hostel experience in each state and kind of like gather that community or build a hosteling, like an itinerary for each state? Across each state's different hostels and kind of have like a micro plan, or do you guys look at that at all?
We are not currently looking at that, no.
Okay. You know, but that it's an interesting question that Bob brings up, because we do these podcasts and we're always pushing your gathering, Hosteling US, pushing Naha, and there's almost to a point of frustration sometimes where we're talking with the hostels, and now that these networks have been created and these groups, which we know for people that have been in the industry a while, we were all yearning for so long. And now that they're there, and to think that people wouldn't participate can be frustrating. So I'll often dig in a little bit on that and ask, well, what do you do? Well, we created our own, you know, association for New England, or we created our own association for South Carolina. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, it's so fragmented, you know, like let's put that effort and energy into a collective movement, which I feel like your platform is a movement that could have so much benefit from everyone. And I really would encourage you to stick to and highlight that differentiator of like, hey, we're the safe and secure hostels. We're the real genuine backpacker hostels. You know, these places have been vetted. You know, this is for experience, because that's the type of platform that can really enhance the industry by picking everyone up together. Where I do honestly think that Hostel World, by going with that, like, oh yes, I know that this place has a 2.9 and they don't have a business license, but you know, we make X amount of money from them and their bookings each year. So again, we have to act in the best interest of the shareholders. You know, that type of reality is that they're hurting the industry in a lot of ways by losing us guests, by posting up that hostel, not only on their site, but because that hostel paid them for a premium listing, they're on top. And you're like, oh my God, what are you doing? You know, you've got 10 beautiful hostels sitting below this one, but because this bozo is paying you $500 a month, you're putting them right on top, even though he's got a 2.9. You know, that's scary stuff, and it can really have a bad effect on a very important part of our industry's growth, a very sensitive and fragile time within our growth. And I'm fearful that if we don't overcome this stigma, genuine, real, authentic backpacker hostels could disappear. And you could have just the stigma of like, unless if it's a Marriott hostel or a Hilton hostel, then it must be one of those murder hostels or, you know, drug house hostels. And like the actual authentic backpacker hostel and the amazing lightning and ball experience will just fade away, you know, and that would be the worst thing ever. So I think that, you know, us doing podcasts, you doing things like The Gathering and Hosteling US are just such great initiatives and movements to stop that from happening. But for all of you listeners, for, you know, for God's sakes, join up, get on board, and, you know, join the mission and the movement for your own benefit. And because you really have created a platform that it's silly not to get involved. On that, I have a last question for the Hosteling US. What are some of the hesitations that you get from hostels that don't want to join, or like, what, I don't want to do it because of this, or I'm not interested because of that? Like, what are some feedbacks, and tell me their names and I'll go visit them.
I mean, to be completely frank, it always comes down to the membership fee, which I think is fair for what we offer, but we are working within an industry that is very budget conscience. A majority of the hostels that I've worked with or communicate with, they don't have a marketing budget. They haven't prioritized marketing or education, and they maybe don't understand the value that comes with it. But it really just comes down to our pretty nominal membership fee. I mean, I can't be mad at people. Of course, they understand what is, you know, what is best. I do know that we have to do a little bit more educating on what how that value, you know, can be, how they can, how they will best benefit from their listing. So that's something we are constantly talking about, like how to engage more people. But the barrier has only ever been shared to me as it's the listing fee. And okay, I'll give you their names later.
Okay. So what is the listing fee?
So $300. $300 per year.
$300 per year. Mm-hmm. Is that you renew every year at $300?
Correct.
Locked in rates. Locked. So again, that could just be one reservation, you know, and you've gotten your money back. But collectively, even if you didn't, you know, see that right away, I think for the back to the awareness, we're always pushing that so much of imagine what this industry could be if people actually knew what it was, you know, and knew the beautiful magic that happens inside of hostels and how awesome they really are when a hostel is run properly and with that old school, you know, bohemian vibe and place. You know, I think that that's really what we've got to do as industry peers is bring that awareness to the forefront, because that's really what can help us explode. And if we don't do it again, I think that could be the death sentence for us. If we don't, if we let other people control the narrative and let other people, you know, identify us and tell other people what we are, you know, that can be a really dangerous game. So I think we've got to get out there more.
Yeah, well, when you speak to the group like we do at the gathering, it's always the same things. Like, people don't know we exist. People don't know what a hostel is. I don't know how to reach the right guests. I want to meet my guest expectations, and they ask, like, where else can I stay in hostels? And I don't know where to send them. And so hosteling.us was born just to help with these four things that, you know, collectively, if we are trying to elevate hosteling in the U.S., we need a place to send people to educate them on what a hostel is and where they can stay in hostels. And so hosteling.us isn't just a listing site. It's very educational. We don't just have your room pictures up there and a booking list. We talk about what your hostel is, who you are, what's your vibe, like, what do you offer? It's very educational in individualizing your listings, but then we have a ton of blog posts that we're sharing on, like, what to pack, like, what to expect if it's your first time, like, where to go if you want XYZ experience. And there's just unlimited options for traveling in US hostels and having just such a variety of experiences. And as a hostel manager, someone who works day-to-day operations, you know, you get that question all the time. Oh, is there another hostel? Like, are there more hostels? Hey, I'm going to this state. Is there a hostel there? And we don't all know, but this site is meant to be fully comprehensive. You may pay for a listing and have your own dedicated page that directly links to your booking page. Or if you're a US hostel, you're also on the A to Z directory list. So we do want to be comprehensive. We want everyone to know about all the US hostels. That's what hosteling.us is meant for. It, again, was born out of a discussion that comes from us as the hostel owners and what we need. And it really is checking a lot of those boxes. And we're really excited about what we've done in the first year. But you're right, there's a lot more we need to do as a collective in order to reach our individual goals of success. And so that's why we host the gathering, is to bring people in a room together where they can realize their challenges are the same. And there are people working to help, you know, build those bridges and drive those bookings. And so, you know, that's our only hope, is to fill your beds with the best guests. That's our whole mission in life. We work really hard at that. And it's very much a passion project. This is something that I do when I have the time to do it, when I'm able to put the information out. And I love what we do, and I'm so excited about what we're doing. And it would be amazing to have a full collective buy-in and just, like, you know, take over. Like, let's say goodbye to Hostel World. Let's have hosteling.us. Like, that could be ours, a dedicated site for USA hostels. We all want that. And this is what hosteling.us is.
Yeah, booking.com, who? Yeah, it'd just be nice to forget all those. Bob, you had something to add?
Yeah, I think obviously I'm very impressive with what you guys have created. And I think also with the coming off the pandemic, the international travel still hasn't returned what it was pre-pandemic. So I feel like Hosteling US is really going to, you know, thrive with the upcoming World Cup coming up in 2026 and the Olympics in 2028. So I think it's, especially California, I know is that the state seems to be in a lull of travel, but I think that's really what is going to bring back that international travel to all these events. And then people are going to hopefully get excited again about visiting the US like they did before the pandemic. But having a place, having a brand that people can go to and find this directory of these great hostels is going to be amazing. So again, very impressed with what you guys created and excited to be a part of it.
Well, it's always awesome to have ITH on board. Y'all are such, you know, trailblazers in the industry. You know, definitely our favorite chain of hostels. And
Down chain, movement.
Oh, group? What's the right word?
Movement.
Our favorite movement of hostels in the U.S. You can just like edit that.
Yeah, we like to because we are a collective of independent hostel owners. We as hostel backpackers, we don't like the. Well, we're not a chain. As ITH isn't owned by one group. There's this independent hostel collective owners have come together and we're on the same mission.
Love that.
Part of our. At core back in the day was to make sure that we never became like a chain or a franchise. So we beat that out to ourselves every day. And you may have noticed from my hairstyle and vicious chops that I haven't sold out yet.
Never will.
But I get to the Hustle US thing, such a cool opportunity for everyone to get involved in and then have the strength in numbers and have the ability to, as I often tell Jim Kennett, I was like, I feel like we need to get on top of the mountaintop and shout who we are because we're getting so much bad press and stigma from all these, you know, movies and shows and different things. And we've got to combat that and speak the truth and try out different things like the podcast, like what you're doing with Hosteling US. We're currently working on trying to put together a hostel book that would bring more awareness to the industry. You know, so I think we've got to be bold with these projects, but then we definitely need the support from the collective in the industry to bring them to the potential that they could. So just, again, thank you so much, Sia, for being with us, and what a rock star you are within the industry. Embers Hostel, again, is really a case study in how you could run a hostel out of a historical building, and what you've done with the Gathering is so exciting, and we'll all be there in force with our Golden Toilet winners November 5th to November 7th in Denver. And then Hosteling US, that might be the most exciting one I think you've got going on, and it just needs to gain more momentum. But that should be the mission at every United States hostel reception. There is the Hostels Are More Fun sign with the QR code at every reception, no matter what hostel it is. And, you know, you just might have to send me on my motorcycle around the country to drop them off.
Oh, that would be perfect. I love that. Well, we're the only ones who are able to really drive the awareness about US hostels. It's on us to do that. And individually, each day at our own hostels, we're doing that. And then we have to do it collectively as well. So it's great to have the people who have joined, and it would be awesome to have even more awesome US hostels to join us. Our number, our power will really be in our numbers.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Well, Sia from Ember, The Gathering, Hostel US. She's got a resume, people. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you in November.